This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey everybody, it's Jessica, and today I want to bring you a breaking news episode, and I want to talk about the arraignment of James Comey, the former FBI director. And what has just happened is that the former FBI director, James Comey, was arraigned in federal court. What does this mean? It means that the charges were read against him. He entered a plea, as expected, of not guilty, and the judge set a trial date, in this case, of January 5th. The judge was somewhat skeptical of the prosecution's claims that they needed more time, or that this was a particularly complicated case, or that it involved a lot of classified information. Both sides agreed that if there was a trial, it would take about 2 to 3 days. So that's the headline. I want to talk about the interesting news that we got out of today, which is basically what James Comey's defense in part will be. Now, we should say the top line of his defense is that he's just not guilty of these two counts. So he was charged, one, with making a false statement before Congress. This involves when he denied authorizing a leak. And what do you need to prove in order to show that somebody made a false statement? You need to show that there was a false statement of material fact and that the person made that false statement of material fact knowingly and willfully. Now, the second count here was obstruction of a congressional proceeding. And again, this is connected to 2020 testimony that he gave, which is itself connected to 2017 testimony. Now, what do you have to prove in order to show this second charge? You would need to show that there is an official proceeding, that the defendant is aware of that proceeding, and that he intentionally tried to corruptly impede it. So what I want to highlight for both of these particular counts is that the prosecution is going to have to show that for false statements, that Comey made those knowingly and willfully. This is not about an accidental misstatement or a negligent misstatement. And then two, for the obstruction charge, that he intentionally tried to corruptly impede the proceedings. So you have to show a high level of not just awareness, but again, knowing what you're doing, willfully doing it, or intentionally doing it. And so these are always somewhat hard cases for the prosecution. Now, I think that this could be even harder for this prosecution because of all of the context surrounding the bringing of the charges, because the reporting indicates that first, the U.S. attorney who was appointed by Trump in the Eastern District of Virginia, who is a career prosecutor, Eric Siebert, looked at that case and decided there's not enough here to charge. Second, that President Trump then appointed one of his former personal attorneys who had worked on insurance issues, had never been a federal prosecutor, Lindsey Halligan. Halligan was then the one to sign the indictment and was the only one to sign the indictment. That in and of itself is unusual. And the case was brought just really days before the statute of limitations ran. So we know that context, but what I want to talk about again is James Comey's defense here. And there are two motions specifically that I want to talk about. First, James Comey has indicated that he plans to bring a motion to dismiss for vindictive and selective prosecution. And second, he plans to bring a motion to dismiss, which really argues that Lindsey Halligan was never validly appointed, and therefore she cannot be the one to bring this case. And because the statute of limitations ran, if the case is dismissed, it really can't be refiled. So first, let's talk about what you need for a motion for selective prosecution. In this case, what you would need to show is that the defendant was targeted for prosecution based on something like political affiliation or race or religion or gender. and that similarly situated people who are in different groups, meaning not that race, not that gender, not that religion, or not that political affiliation, were not prosecuted. And the foundation of a motion for selective prosecution is really based on a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. Now, and these are hard motions to succeed on. Now, when it comes to a motion based on vindictive prosecution, unlike selective prosecution, which is based on equal protection, this is really based on the Due Process Clause. And what you have to show is that the prosecutor was motivated by, and in this case, brought the charges based on animus, malice, or retaliation, based on the defendant exercising a protected legal right, meaning that the defendant, in this case Comey, was exercising a constitutional or statutory right, and that's why he faced this prosecution. You need to show either actual vindictiveness or a presumption of vindictiveness. Now, put another way, this really requires showing that the prosecutor is punishing someone for exercising a protected legal right, not that the prosecutor is motivated by facts or evidence, not that there is some objective justification here. Now, examples of vindictive prosecution include bringing more serious charges after a defendant appeals, or after they seek a new trial, or after they reject a plea deal, or maybe bringing more charges after a defendant exercises a procedural right. Now, when it comes to vindictive prosecution and this particular claim, I think Comey will rely on the timing of the indictment, the public pressure that President Trump exerted, the changes that we just talked about in the U.S. Attorney's office, and what he will allege is also weak evidence in this case. Now, finally, I want to talk about what might be the sleeper argument in this case, and that is James Comey's argument that the appointment of Lindsey Halligan, who again was the only U.S. attorney to sign the indictment, was itself invalid. And again, if that was invalid, then the indictment is invalid, and because the statute of limitations already ran, it seems that there would be no way to cure that issue. So let's talk a little bit about what happened in this case. The U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, as we said, previously was Eric Siebert. He was nominated by Trump, and he either left or was fired. There's some difference in how we characterize this. After he refused to bring charges, the reporting indicates, against Comey and other political enemies of Trump. Now, the statute we're looking at here is 28 U.S.C. 546, and that basically says when there is a vacancy for a U.S. attorney position, that the attorney general can appoint a U.S. attorney for that district. The appointee can serve until the earlier of either the qualification of a new U.S. attorney appointed by the president or 120 days after the appointment by the attorney general. If the 120 days expires, then the district court can appoint a U.S. attorney. So in this case, the argument is that the Department of Justice cannot appoint a second interim U.S. attorney, meaning Lindsey Halligan, after appointing a first one, meaning Eric Siebert, after the term expired. So Siebert was appointed for an 120-day term. It expired. Then the district judges in the Eastern District of Virginia appointed him. So where does this leave us? Well, if we look back to what Justice Alito wrote back in the 1980s when he was at the Office of Legal Counsel, he wrote a memo saying that after the 120-day period expires, that further interim appointments by the Attorney General are not allowed. And so that's really the argument here, is that this is a further appointment by the Attorney General, and that it's not allowed because Siebert's 120-day term already expired. I think the bottom line here is that I'm giving you the headlines. There's a little bit more complexity to this argument, but I think it's a fascinating one. I think we all need to watch it. And so those are the big headlines when it comes to the arraignment of James Comey again, his first appearance in federal court after these charges were brought against him. We know that the charges were read, that he entered a plea, that they set a date for trial, and that he's going to bring these two motions, one based on vindictive and selective prosecution, and another based on the idea that the U.S. attorney in this case, Lindsey Halligan, was never validly appointed, so she can't bring this indictment. And again, because the statute of limitations ran, then the indictment can't be brought again. So those are the arguments. We'll keep close tabs on it. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe.